This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our economic guru, Brian Belsky, in the house in about 25 minutes, 1 hour from now, the Hall of Famer. All he does is catch touchdowns. Chris Carter, who's in town for another rappelling event with the Salvation Army and the Minnesota Vikings. Chris Carter, someone I believe the athlete I've interviewed the most, if I don't count my Wolves job. The Wolves job changes things a lot, but yeah, Carter, a regular on the show, regular for me, a regular with Chad Brera. He's on with Dan a lot too, but yeah, Chris Carter, a fabulous interview pretty much every single time is with us in an hour. We're going to get some audio from a woman who lives in my town who's having a hawk issue. A hawk issue. We'll get to that later. But let's get, which one do you think we should start with? Should we start with Pete or should we start with JD? I'm inclined to say we start with JD.
I was on the same wavelength. Okay. We go there.
This has generated plenty of reaction the last few days. Adam took one angle to it, and it was an interesting approach that Adam had. You can now podcast the Adam and Giordana Show anywhere you want. Adam discussed this at the first two segments in the 11 o'clock hour. Well worth your time. Adam Carter, to me, the most talented employee that WCCO Radio has ever had. I'm not joking. I believe that. The most talented employee that WCCO Radio has ever had is Adam Robert Carter. Here is J.D. Vance years ago mocking the Democrats with a bizarre approach.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
What a smug, condescending comment. That comment is so you're all beneath me. You can't top it. Okay, I have three biological sons with Kathleen, my ex-wife, who's pretty much my best friend. I also, after Kathleen and I split, I dated Jen for 7 years. She has two amazing boys who I don't interact with now because, you know, our lives are separate, but I still think the world of them and would do anything for them. Dated Carla for almost 9 years. Michael, I just had dinner with Michael. I would walk across fire for Michael. Okay? So I can't imagine my life without these kids who've been in my life. I can't. But I don't think my life is in any way, in any speck of a way, superior to someone who either could not have children or decided to not have children. And that smugness is out there for a lot of people. You know who hears that a lot? Our friend Jamie Ukas. Now, Jamie is a stepmom now. Married to Doug. They have a great son who I've been around a number of times. Wonderful. And I've watched Jamie with her stepson, and she's great. But if Jamie was here, and Jamie will be here multiple times when she's in Paris, she's probably in Paris now, covering the Olympics, Jamie would tell you the endless amount of emails she would get from really cruel people. Why don't you have a kid yet? What's wrong with you? Why don't you have a kid yet? What about those who want to have a kid desperately and they can't? What did you guys do? You guys face challenges?
Yeah. It was a long journey, a few years, and eventually it ended up with the full round of IVF, two rounds, actually.
And that's inexpensive, right?
Oh, yeah, just, you know, a year's salary, basically, from what I was making.
Think about that.
It's fine.
Year's salary for what you were making at that time. How about individuals who just decide that they don't want to have a child? That's fine. That wasn't my choice. Wasn't your choice. We're not better than the others because we had kids. Our life isn't automatically more fulfilled because of that. And again, I can't imagine a second of my life without my boys. But by the way, before I had them, I enjoyed my life. And I have plenty of friends who don't have kids. And I don't walk around with a superiority complex looking down at them and say, oh, what a lonely life you live. No, some of them tried really, really hard. And they couldn't do it. And then they decided for whatever reason they weren't going to adopt or whatever. And others just said, I'm going to live life differently. So you have that, which bugs the bleep out of me. Does it bug you? And then here's the best communicator in politics today. I'm separating Barack Obama out of this conversation. He's not in politics right now. I know you think he's controlling the White House. He's been making every decision. No, he's not. And Bill Clinton, I'm taking him out right now. And actually, Bill, there's been some age issues with Bill that happens to all of us. Bill's still a good communicator. Does he have the same fastball he once has? No, I don't think he does. Does Obama still have his fastball? Yeah, he does. Pete Buttigieg is the best communicator in politics today. You don't have to agree with him. You don't. Who would be other contenders as when he faces a difficult question, complicated question, has to defend the administration, goes to Fox News because they know he's their best communicator? Who else would be in that conversation? I was trying to think as a Republican, like I think my guy Josh Shapiro in the governor of Pennsylvania, who will be a president before the next 12 years. I think he's very good. I think Pete's better. Is there a Republican? Like, I thought Chris Sununu was, I think he's good, the New Hampshire governor. I think Haley's fine.
Yeah. Your guy Christie's good.
Blunt, direct.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but, Pete, there's few that are smoother than him. In, as you said, facing a tough question.
Doesn't duck it. Right? That's one of Kamala's biggest issues. She ducks tough questions. Donald obviously resonates with tons of people. Doesn't matter the question. He's just going to give whatever answer he wants. By the way, that political strategy would say that works. But so here's Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation. Here he is on with Stephen Colbert. When Colbert, who's left of Pete Buttigieg, by the way, he's asking about the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who is a true, true believer in Scripture and the way he believes the Bible tells him how he should live his life. He's entitled to that. Absolutely. I don't have to agree, but I'm not telling him how to live his life. I get to differ, but I don't doubt that Speaker Johnson's a true believer. Here's Colbert in a lead up. About Speaker Johnson.
It's just Buttigieg here. But okay. Colbert's lead-up was asking him about Mike Johnson, and Johnson having said some rather abhorrent things about the LGBT community and how it's, you know, basically the devil.
Yeah, the ruination of society, it's dark. And so here's Pete Buttigieg responding to one of the comments that the Speaker of the House has offered up.
I'll work with anybody who can help us get good transportation available to the American people, but I don't know, maybe we'll just have them over, because our little house isn't that far from the Capitol, and if he could see what it's like when I come home from work and Chasten's bringing the kids home from daycare or vice versa, and one of us is getting the mac and cheese ready, and the other one's microwaving those little freezer meatballs that are a great cheat code if you got toddlers and you got to feed them quickly,
and
they won't take their shoes off, and one of them needs a diaper change. Everything about that is chaos, but nothing about that is dark. That's The love of God is in that household.
That's right. In my view, the love of God is in that house. The God I believe in isn't telling you it has to be a man and woman, in my view. You don't have to agree with me. You don't. Speaker Johnson does not agree. I think it's sad when people are unwilling to respect the joy other people have in their life and the kindness that they can bring, including to their children. Because we have millions and millions of stories, Dave, where there's a mom and dad, and they're amazing parents. There are hundreds of millions of stories. Amazing. There are amazing stories where it's a single dad or a single mom. There's also just, I don't know how many, but there's also millions and millions where the mom and dad, they're terrible parents. Or the single dad, terrible parent. Or the single mom, terrible. And by the way, there are gay couples where it's the same thing. Some of them are amazing. Some are okay. Some are terrible. The idea that Pete Buttigieg and his husband somehow can't be good parents because they're two men, show me proof. Because you don't have it. You just have your personal belief, which is fine. But there's no proof that it's guaranteed that a mom and dad are automatically better than a dad and dad. And I get how people believe perspectives should be heard. You can get perspectives a lot of ways. You really can. And so I also want to get to this tweet that came to me, and I want people to chime in on all this. At 651-461-9226. When I put out the whole soundbite from Colbert capturing what Johnson said and Buttigieg's response, a texter said this: the meaning of life is simple, to reproduce. Without reproduction, there's no life, and one could add little meaning. Well, that sounds like something J.D. Vance almost would say, right? And he cites childless cat people and Kamala Harris. By the way, she's a stepmom. Pete Buttigieg has two kids. And AOC, how old is AOC? She in her mid-30s?
Yeah,
right.
At most.
Right? So she can't have kids? And by the way, let's say none of them ever would have kids. The idea that you can't be productive and that you can't bring meaning to life unless you have children, I find those comments repugnant. How old is she?
34.
34.
Well, and to go back to Vance's comment, to say that if you don't have children, well, you have less at stake for the future of the country, or you don't care about the future of the country because you're going to be gone for it anyway? Please.
Give me a break. It annoys me. Maybe you're totally on J.D. Vance's side. Maybe you think the breakup of the man and woman dynamic at home is a dark journey. I don't. What do you want to say? Agree with me? Add some nuance? Totally disagree. I'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're just going to play a little bit of how Colbert phrase this to Mayor Pete before he responded. Here's Colbert.
Work with a guy who argued that same-sex relations are, quote, the dark harbinger of chaos and sexual anarchy that could doom even the strongest republic.
Okay. That's going to doom us. That's it. We're done. Okay? We're done. Give me a break. Why are we done? Because individuals have decided to live their life without children. In this case, who did he target? He targeted two women and a gay man. Does he also mean if, okay, Belsky's going to join us here in 10 minutes. Belsky, he has kids. What if Belsky didn't have kids? What if I didn't have kids? Would we be the part of the ruination of society? Come on. And by the way, when the Republicans are trying to appeal to suburban women, right? Everybody's trying to appeal to suburban. Suburban women often decide the election. This is going to resonate? You're just childless cat ladies who don't care about the society once you die? So you only care about society after you die if you have kids.
Yes.
You just hope anarchy, death, destruction, it turns into a hellscape,
yeah,
apparently.
I think if you don't have kids, once you turn 70 or 80, just light the place up. Who cares, right? I think that's how generally people feel if they don't have children. Sure.
My God. You know, I think he's getting advanced way too much criticism early on because you know, he's not a dynamic speaker. So what? Okay, but the comments he actually offers up, You can comment on those, and I certainly am right here. Joe has called in. Joe, you're on WCCO.
So you're telling me, Chad, having kids doesn't change you as a person.
Never.
That's insane if that's the truth.
Never. Joe, here's what you do. You call in, and you run through. So you made a statement. Let me react to it. I never said that once.
Okay, but what you're saying is that it doesn't change. He's saying it does exactly what he said, how these people – that don't have kids are the weird cat lady, whatever. Okay, he said it, I didn't. What I'm saying is, he makes a point, though. Your whole view on life changes after you have kids.
No, not my whole life didn't change. There are many things about my life that were fully formed before I have my kids. Many things.
Of course, but what are your priorities with kids versus not having kids? You know your kids come first thing, like you've just said.
Absolutely.
You'd walk on, you know, you'd walk on fire, you'd do everything else.
Absolutely.
That's what he's getting at. And there's no doubt.
His words matter, though, right,
that's
Joe?
That's not the truth.
His words matter. His words matter.
He might have,
that they don't care about society unless they have kids. Come on. He is a very intelligent person. We should hold him and Biden. Hold on. No, hold on. We should hold Biden to his words. We should hold Kamala Harris' words. All of them, both sides.
Right.
You know, there's just too much condescending from people who have kids who look at other individuals who don't have kids with, and they're just condescending towards them.
I agree. It's so bizarre to me, too. I happen to have two kids. I don't care. Have kids, don't have kids. I have uncles that never got married, never have kids. Are you asking me if their view on life is a little different than people with kids? You bet. I'll go to my grave saying that. Are they great guys? You bet they are. But their whole outlook on life and how to do things is different because, as you know, when you have kids, they become it changes your life and it changes your outlook on things.
How,
and that's what he's getting at.
How
and
you phrase
twisting it, you know.
I played a soundbite, Joe. I play how you just said it compared to J.D. Vance. If he would have said what you said, there'd be nothing out there. But he didn't say it with some compassion and some empathy like you just did.
I'm just, you like to twist stuff and make it like, oh, you're so offended by what he said. You can't get out of what he said, what I just said. It's the same thing. That's what.
So words don't matter. So this is a bit, okay, right now.
No.
Hold on a second. Let me finish it. This is like Biden when he was struggling or Trump when he goes, you know, crazy. And then the cleanup people say, well, this is what he really matter. This is what he really meant. What I want out of a president or vice president, not to be flawless, not to be perfect, but their words should carry the weight of their actual words. And it's not the only time where Vance has offered up condescending comments towards individuals who don't have kids.
Okay, but it's not, but you're acting like see, you're taking it as a complete, like, oh, I'm so offended by all these things and whatnot.
No, I'm just saying I'm offended by what J.D. Vance said. Not all these other things. I'm reacting specifically to what he said. Dave feels the exact same way. There, I could show you a lot of texts who agree 100%. You get to disagree, but I'm not the outlier here, Joe.
I understand that. But you have, that's the whole problem we're having, though, is everybody's so offended by everything. That's not what he's saying. He's saying AOC doesn't have the same outlook on life as a 50-year-old married lady. She doesn't.
In one aspect of her life.
Right.
In one aspect.
Correct.
Not the totality of her life. We just don't
correct.
Agree. Joe, I appreciate when you call in. Yeah. Call in again. I can't get to as many texts because I got Belsky right here. I got to have Belsky come in studio and say, okay, we got 2 minutes for you. He looks very good, by the way, doesn't Belsky?
Always looks good.
He always looks good. Belsky, our economic guru, maybe handing out money before the segment is done. Are you handing out money before the segment is done?
I got a whole pocket of Benjamins.
Nice.
A whole pocket.
Nice. Should we give the address? Come on down. No, don't come on down. Belsky's not handing out money, but he'll hand out good information when we return. All right, do I have this right? Chief Investment Strategist, BMO Capital Markets, our guy, Wilmer's own, Brian Belsky. Okay, the big number today is 2.8%. We're up in the last quarter. Explain and tell me how people should react to this.
Well, thanks for having me, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's an honor to be here in studio. A couple times ago when we did this right after the economy, and you said, give me one word.
Okay.
And I said consistent. And then my son taught me this little trick. I still don't really know how to do it, but you can look at the comments that people make.
Oh.
Say shit stuff online.
Yeah.
Sorry. and
we haven't had to bleep Belsky. We're such good friends that you know,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
And
he said the yes word. It wasn't that bad.
So,
but we still
so
have
I,
to.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway. Someone said, consistent? What are you talking about, Belsky? We're going into recession. How long ago was that? I mean, that was a while ago. I mean, people are so, they have their predestined thoughts about the economy. Listen.
About because, everything, let's be honest.
Well, just the last caller.
I mean, yeah. I like the back and forth with the joke.
It is, but I mean, you know, so many, just like in, like life is like investing, investing is like life. We focus on one binary thing, and then that's all we can think about. Just like buy, sell, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yep.
So on the GDP print, better than expected, bonds went down, yields went up. The market actually was down in the beginning and then rallied later in the day, is up as far as I know right now. But we're in
the market was atrocious yesterday.
Of course it was. Of course it was because, you know, we've had this huge move in stocks. People have been too concentrated in technology. We've been warning people about a pending pullback. That doesn't change our longer term view that we think we're in a 25-year secular bull market, meaning stocks are going to go up for 25 years overall from a compound annual growth rate basis. But we were overheated.
Which is remarkable, by the way.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think we're going to be kicking ourselves 10 years from now, looking back at the current period and why we did not buy more small companies, why we didn't buy more value companies. And I still believe over the next 3 to 5 years, the United States stock market is going to be the best place to be. Now, on a near-term basis, what's happening in the economy and what's happening in the stock market is we're heading toward normalization. And normalization means kind of 3 to 4% 10-year treasuries, 10 to 15% in earnings growth, 10 to 15% return in stocks. That's really, really good. But we're still kind of fighting off the COVID periods in the liquidity. And liquidity relative to history is still ample. People would say we're tight liquidity and mortgage rates are high. But if you just need some perspective, think about when you bought your house in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep.
A lot higher interest rates. I remember I always like to tell a story. I was a
$189,000, 1993.
Oh my
Plymouth,
gosh,
Minnesota, baby.
I remember I had zero, okay, let's be honest, negative credit in Los Angeles, California, and my car broke down. I put $200 down on an 88 Nissan pickup at Magic Ford in Valencia, California. Guess what my guess what my interest rate was?
Oh,
21%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perspective. So, I mean, I think that we need to kind of get through this. The economy is still positive. The key thing is that that unemployment's still around 4%. And that's really, really good. And it's going to be interesting to see what the effect of some of this is going to go on the election going forward, because things are pretty good.
Okay, so let's stay with that. I saw another story. I'm sure you saw it too. New York Times. I've had a chance to either consume individuals say this or stories on a regular basis suggesting, I guess now, whether it's Harris or Trump, that we're probably going to have a very good economy. And you cited a lot of reasons why already. But that maybe the inflation is going to come down. Some of the other areas are going to be even in a better position. So whether it's Harris or Trump, most likely, and they're going to have different philosophies, clearly, but that we're going to see this economy get even better the next 2-3 years. And some of it will be by the policies they implement, and some of it's because what is already happening right now to lead up to that.
Right. So a couple things. I've always said that politics have nothing to do with the absolute performance of the stock market. or the economy. They can either dissuade or help. And it depends upon what side you're on. Corporate taxes go down, you're going to see more revenues and you're going to see more jobs. And things come back to the United States in terms of onshoring. And so I think that's a major, major trend. The majority of the stock market returns that we've seen in 2021, 2022, remember, was a really bad year.
Yeah.
2023 and so far this year is all about liquidity. And so we had 0% interest rates. I remember in January of 2021, I wrote this report because I was being inundated by naysayers and people worrying about Biden coming in and the blue wave. Remember all that? That we're going to have regulation and all these taxes. And I'm like,
you kept saying, stay steady.
I said, stay steady. I said, listen, don't give politicians any credit for anything, number one. Number two, with respect to the stock market, they really don't, their policies from a longer term perspective really don't have a lot to do with it. And oh, by the way, stocks go down or up because of interest rates. And at 0% interest rates, buy stocks. And that's exactly what happened. And we got ahead of our skis, obviously, toward the end of 2021. We got way too, the prices went up way too much. And that's what really resulted in the big correction in 2022.
Okay. 44 past one. Our guy Belsky's here. We're talking about the market. You want to chime in with a question about the market? You certainly can. StylesFinancial.com, talk or text lines. We're just taking text here, though, right now. 651-461-9226. You tell me either Trump or Harris. And by the way, I will reiterate, I don't think you have to vote just for one of those two. I was out on both Biden and Trump. I'll give consideration to Harris and see, although my inclination is she's further left than where I am politically on some key issues. But a year in to their presidency, so now it's January 2026, either it'll be the same or it will be different. What's your sense on where we will be with inflation?
Down.
Down.
Yeah.
No matter what.
No matter what. Now, the Fed said 2.7% is the target for this year, 2% next year. The trend is in the right direction. And typically and historically, inflation goes up like an elevator, down like an escalator. And we're seeing that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we have now, as consumers, figured out, from the consumer perspective, we're still spending $100, but we're going to very tight places. Like we're not buying Nikes and On. We're buying On.
Yep.
We're being very select in terms of what we're buying, and that's the strength and the consistency of the U.S. consumer. Now, I think at some point, don't mean to be Johnny Raincloud, we're going to have a recession, but we're going to have a normal recession. Again, going back to normalcy. So if you've been an investor less than 10 years, you have no idea what I'm talking about. In fact, if you've been an investor less than 25 years, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm talking like mid-90s, mid-80s type of normal recession.
You're not talking 07, 08. We're not talking the pandemic when it was...
No, remember,
massive tumult.
We had a double dip recession post 9/11. I mean, in 2001 was a capacity-led recession because of technology, and then you had another recession because of 9/11. So those are all kind of not events that don't come around, thank God, in many lifetimes. But we're going to have a normal recession, probably something on the consumer side, and then we're off to the races again. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be an investor. That doesn't mean you should not buy U.S. stocks and continue to be invested. And the U.S. is the most stable country from a political perspective, irrespective of all the silliness that's gone on in this country, especially the last several weeks. We're still, believe it or not, the most stable country in the world.
Okay, let's pause with Belsky. Brian Belsky here, Chief Investment Strategist, BMO Capital Markets. I want to talk about President Trump. He's the favorite. I think if the election was today, he still would win. He's talking tariffs again. What does Brian think about the strong, aggressive tariff policy that the president enacted? This is Donald Trump when he was president. And if he wins, how that potentially could play out. Belsky's great. He's back with his moments on CCO. All right, Belsky's here. Brian Belsky, BMO Capital Markets. Among the texts, why doesn't Trump get more of the blame for high inflation from all the trade wars and tariffs when he was president? Is that valid? And if Donald Trump wins and he lives up to his words about how aggressive he's saying he will be towards China with tariffs, how will the market react?
Well, the answer to the question is no, because Biden kept all the tariffs against China. People forget that. That's number one.
That's a very, very good point.
That's number one. Number two, inflation is caused by liquidity. When you have a bunch of money, you can buy whatever you want. That drives up prices. And so when you have a fiscal response in a monetary response, what's a monetary response? The Fed cuts interest rates, right? Powell did that aggressively. And then Biden comes in and starts writing checks. And after the Fed was done cutting interest rates, Biden was still cutting checks, providing liquidity. So actually, it's the policies of liquidity with respect to the fiscal side of things, giving people money, that's what causes inflation, not the tariffs. Now, on the tariff side of things, remember, China's importance in the world has dropped off pretty dramatically. And part of it started in 2016-17. It kind of peaked out. Its percentage of world GDP. It's lost 5 to 8 percentage points of world GDP.
How come?
Because the U.S. is doing so much better. And from a fundamental perspective.
So Trump and Biden get credit for that.
Trump and Biden get credit for it. Biden got credit for maintaining consistency with China. Trump got credit for saying, hey, you know what? We're going to make our stuff here. But China peaked out 16-17, and if you take a look at what the problems are, they had a huge bank failure a couple weeks ago. You know, that doesn't get enough press. You had people run on the bank in China. That's number one. Number two, you got demographic problems. You have an aging demographic. And number three, from a nation, they're trying to transition from an industrial-based nation to a consumer-based nation. If you know the Asian culture, especially the Chinese culture, they don't spend money. We in Western society, we spend money like drunken sailors. Let's go. We'd rather finance a trip Italy this summer because we want to get the heck out of here.
That is true. Okay, let's get to the most important issue. Yes or no, are you attending your 40-year high school reunion?
I'm on the fence.
You're on the fence.
I'm on the fence. I'm leaning toward yes.
Okay, text me 651-461-9226. Let's say 20, 30, and 40. Did you go to those high school reunions? And did you enjoy it? I told you I went to 5 very briefly, 10 for the full thing, 20, and then I was done.
I don't believe there was a 5. I'm sure people will text in and say, yeah, Belsky, there was a 5.
Yeah.
10, I went.
Yeah.
I flew home from California for that one.
La-di-da.
Everyone was still in the same cliques, hanging out in the same circles, talking about everybody.
Yep.
20 was really fun because you're in your 30s. And you're grown up, you have your family, and you talk about things. 30 year was
meh. Unless you're the childless cat lady, as J.D. Vance suggested.
Exactly. Or the 30 year was meh.
Yeah.
30 was meh. Yep. So that kind of puts me on
What do you need? What needs to happen at the 40 year for Brian Belsky to feel like it's spectacular? Your high school crush from 40 years ago finally comes up to you and says, I've always been attracted to you.
Listen, my crushes were from 4th and 5th grade.
I mean, okay. I don't wanna, what's her name?
Ann Rimey. I loved her in 5th grade. She knows it, too. She knows it.
Where is she now?
She's in Wilmer, I think.
She's in Wilmer?
Yeah. And then Cary Brandt. I loved Cary Brandt 6th grade. She was my crush. And then,
are they married?
Yes, they are. Okay. As far as I know. I don't know. Yeah. It broke my heart. But I wasn't
is he just right now bringing this up just so he's seeing if they hear about this?
I think so. Yeah.
I am. Well, listen, you know the line from Stripes, I'm the little acorn that became the oak, right? I was a little fat, dorky kid.
Wait, you were Chub-Chub?
Chub-Chub.
Second Chub-Chub.
Chub-Chub with glasses. And my mom brought me to JCPenney and bought me Toughskins, what are they called? Hefty Toughskins.
Okay, you're like as fit as can be. When did the Chub-Chub days pass you by?
Well, I think it was later in high school, but then St. Cloud was my.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, do I have this right? Chief Investment Strategist, BMO Capital Markets, our guy, Wilmer's own, Brian Belsky. Okay, the big number today is 2.8%. We're up in the last quarter. Explain and tell me how people should react to this.
Well, thanks for having me, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's an honor to be here in studio. A couple times ago when we did this right after the economy, and you said, give me one word.
Okay.
And I said consistent. And then my son taught me this little trick. I still don't really know how to do it, but you can look at the comments that people make.
Oh.
Say shit stuff online. Yeah. Sorry. and
we haven't had to bleep Belsky. We're such good friends that, you know,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
And
he said the yes word. It wasn't that bad.
So,
but we still
so
have to.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Someone said, consistent? What are you talking about, Belsky? We're going into a recession. How long ago was that? I mean, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I mean, people are so, they have their predestined thoughts about the economy. Listen.
About everything, let's be honest.
Well, just the last caller.
I mean, yeah. I like the back and forth with Joe.
It is, but I mean, you know, so many, just like in, like life is like investing, investing is like life. We focus on one binary thing, and then that's all we can think about. Just like buy, sell, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yep.
So on the GDP print, better than expected, bonds went down, yields went up. The market actually was down in the beginning and then rallied later in the day, is up as far as I know right now. But we're in
the market was atrocious yesterday.
Of course it was. Of course it was, because, you know, we've had this huge move in stocks. People have been too concentrated in technology. We've been warning people about a pending pullback. That doesn't change our longer term view that we think we're in a 25-year secular bull market, meaning stocks are going to go up for 25 years overall from a compound annual growth rate basis. But we were overheated. And
which is remarkable, by the way. Right?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think we're going to be kicking ourselves 10 years from now, looking back at the current period and why we did not buy more small companies, why we didn't buy more value companies. And I still believe over the next 3 to 5 years, the United States stock market is going to be the best place to be. Now, on a near-term basis, what's happening in the economy and what's happening in the stock market is we're heading toward normalization. And normalization means kind of 3 to 4% 10-year treasuries, 10 to 15% in, earnings growth, 10 to 15% return in stocks. That's really, really good. But we're still kind of fighting off the COVID periods in the liquidity. And liquidity relative to history is still ample. People would say we're tight liquidity and mortgage rates are high. But if you just need some perspective, think about when you bought your house in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep.
A lot higher interest rates. I remember, I always like to tell a story. I was a
$189,000, 1993.
Oh my
Plymouth,
gosh.
Minnesota, baby.
I remember I had zero, okay, let's be honest, negative credit in Los Angeles, California, and my car broke down. I put $200 down on an 88 Nissan pickup at Magic Ford in Valencia, California. Guess what my guess what my interest rate was?
Oh,
21%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perspective. So, I mean, I think that we need to kind of get through this. The economy is still positive. The key thing is that that unemployment is still around 4%. And that's really, really good. And it's going to be interesting to see what the effect of some of this is going to go on the election going forward, because things are pretty good.
Okay, so let's stay with that. I saw another story. I'm sure you saw it too. New York Times. I've had a chance to either consume individuals say this or stories on a regular basis suggesting, I guess now, whether it's Harris or Trump, that we're probably going to have a very good economy. And you cited a lot of reasons why already. But that maybe the inflation is going to come down. Some of the other areas are going to be even in a better position. So whether it's Harris or Trump, most likely, and they're going to have different philosophies, clearly, but that we're going to see this economy get even better the next 2-3 years. And some of it will be by the policies they implement, and some of it's because what is already happening right now to lead up to that.
Right. So a couple things. I've always said that politics have nothing to do with the absolute performance of the stock market or the economy. They can either dissuade or help. And depends upon what side you're on. Corporate taxes go down, you're going to see more revenues and you're going to see more jobs. And things come back to the United States in terms of onshoring. And so I think that's a major, major trend. The majority of the stock market returns that we've seen in 2021, 2022, remember, was a really bad year.
Yeah.
2023 and so far this year is all about liquidity. And so we had 0% interest rates. I remember in January of 2021, I wrote this report because I was being inundated by naysayers and people worrying about Biden coming in and the blue wave. Remember all that? That we're going to have regulation and all these taxes. And I'm like,
you kept saying stay steady.
I said, stay steady. I said, listen, don't give politicians any credit for anything, number one. Number two, with respect to the stock market, they really don't, their policies from a longer term perspective really don't have a lot to do with it. And oh, by the way, stocks go down or up because of interest rates. And at 0% interest rates, buy stocks. And that's exactly what happened. And we got ahead of our skis, obviously, toward the end of 2021. We got way too, the prices went up way too much. And that's what really resulted in the big correction in 2022.
Okay. 44 past one. Our guy Belsky's here. We're talking about the market. You want to chime in with a question about the market? You certainly can. StylesFinancial.com, talk or text lines. We're just taking text here, though, right now. 651-461-9226. You tell me either Trump or Harris. And by the way, I will reiterate, I don't think you have to vote just for one of those two. I was out on both Biden and Trump. I'll give consideration to Harris and see, although my inclination, she's further left than where I am politically on some key issues. But a year in to their presidency, so now it's January 2026, either it'll be the same or it will be different. What's your sense on where we will be with inflation?
Down.
Down.
Yeah.
No matter what.
No matter what. Now, the Fed said 2.7% is the target for this year, 2% next year. The trend is in the right direction. And typically and historically, inflation goes up like an elevator, down like an escalator. And we're seeing that. And but, you know, at the end of the day, I think we have now, as consumers, figured out from the consumer perspective, we're still spending $100, but we're going to very tight places. Like we're not.
Yes.
We're not buying Nikes and on. We're buying on.
Yep.
We're being very select in terms of what we're buying. And that's the strength and the consistency of the U.S. consumer. Now, I think at some point, don't mean to be Johnny Raincloud, we're going to have a recession, but we're going to have a normal recession. Again, going back to normalcy. So if you've been an investor less than 10 years, you have no idea what I'm talking about. In fact, if you've been an investor less than 25 years, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm talking like mid-90s, mid-80s type of normal recession.
You're not talking 07, 08. We're not talking the pandemic when it was.
No. No, remember, too.
Massive tumult.
We had a double dip recession post 9/11. I mean,
yeah, right.
In 2001 was a capacity-led recession because of technology, and then you had another recession because of 9/11. So those are all kind of not events that don't come around, thank God, in many lifetimes. But we're going to have a normal recession, probably something on the consumer side, and then we're off to the races again. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be an investor. That doesn't mean you should not buy U.S. stocks and continue to be invested. And the U.S. is the most stable country from a political perspective, irrespective of all the silliness that's gone on in this country, especially the last several weeks. We're still, believe it or not, the most stable country in the world.
Okay, let's pause with Belsky. Brian Belsky here, Chief Investment Strategist, BMO Capital Markets. I want to talk about President Trump. He's the favorite. I think if the election was today, he still would win. He's talking tariffs again. What does Brian think about the strong, aggressive tariff policy that the president enacted? This is Donald Trump when he was president. And if he wins, how that potentially could play out. Belsky's great. He's back with his moments on CCO. All right, Belsky's here. Brian Belsky, BMO Capital Markets. Among the texts, why doesn't Trump get more of the blame for high inflation from all the trade wars and tariffs when he was president? Is that valid? And if Donald Trump wins and he lives up to his words about how aggressive he's saying he will be towards China with tariffs, how will the market react?
Well, the answer to the question is no, because Biden kept all the tariffs against China. People forget that. That's number one.
That's
number
a very, very good point.
That's number one. Number two, inflation is caused by liquidity. When you have a bunch of money, you can buy whatever you want. That drives up prices. And so when you have a fiscal response and a monetary response, what's a monetary response? The Fed cuts interest rates, right? Powell did that aggressively. And then Biden comes in and starts writing checks. And after the Fed was done cutting interest rates, Biden was still cutting checks, providing liquidity. So actually, it's the policies of liquidity with respect to the fiscal side of things, giving people money, that's what causes inflation, not the tariffs. Now, on the tariff side of things, remember, China's importance in the world has dropped off pretty dramatically. And part of it started in 2016-17, it kind of peaked out. Its percentage of world GDP. It's lost 5 to 8 percentage points of world GDP.
How come?
Because the U.S. is doing so much better. And from a fundamental perspective.
So Trump and Biden get credit for that.
Trump and Biden get credit for it. Biden got credit for maintaining consistency with China. Trump got credit for saying, hey, you know what? We're going to make our stuff here. But China peaked out 16-17. And if you take a look at what the problems are, we had a huge bank failure a couple weeks ago. You know, that doesn't get enough press. You had people run on the bank in China. That's number one. Number two, you got demographic problems. You have an aging demographic. And number three, from a nation, they're trying to transition from an industrial-based nation to a consumer-based nation. If you know the Asian culture, especially the Chinese culture, they don't spend money. We in Western society, we spend money like drunken sailors. Let's go. We'd rather finance a trip Italy this summer because we want to get the heck out of here.
That is true. Okay, let's get to the most important issue. Yes or no, are you attending your 40-year high school reunion?
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. I'm leaning toward yes.
Okay. Text me 651-461-9226. Let's say 20, 30, and 40. Did you go to those high school reunions and did you enjoy it? I told you I went to 5 very briefly, 10 for the full thing, 20, and then I was done.
I don't believe there was a 5. I'm sure people will text in and say, yeah, Belsky, there was a 5.
Yeah.
10, I went.
Yeah.
I flew home from California for that one.
La-di-da.
Everyone was still in the same cliques, hanging out in the same circles, talking about everybody.
Yep.
20 was really fun because you're in your 30s, and you're grown up, you have your family, and you talk about things. 30 year was
unless meh. You're the childless cat lady, as J.D. Vance suggested.
Exactly. Or the 30 year was meh.
Yeah.
30 was meh. Yep. So that kind of puts me on
Do you need? What needs to happen at the 40 year for Brian Belsky to feel like it's spectacular? Your high school crush from 40 years ago finally comes up to you and says, I've always been attracted to you.
Listen, my crushes were from 4th and 5th grade.
Okay. I mean, I don't wanna, what's her name?
Ann Rimey. I loved her in 5th grade. She knows it, too. She knows it.
Where is she now?
She's in Wilmer, I think.
She's in Wilmer?
Yeah. And then Carrie Brandt. I loved Carrie Brandt 6th grade. She was my crush. And then,
are they married?
Yes, they are. Okay. As far as I know. I don't know. Yeah. It broke my heart. But I wasn't
is he just right now bringing this up just so he's seeing if they hear about this?
I think so. Yeah.
I am. Well, listen, you know the line from Stripes, I'm the little acorn that became the oak, right? I was a little fat, dorky kid.
Wait, you were Chub-Chub?
Chub-Chub.
Second Chub-Chub.
Chub-Chub with glasses. And my mom brought me to JCPenney and bought me Toughskins, what are they called? Hefty Toughskins.
Okay, you're like as fit as can be. When did the Chub-Chub days pass you by?
Well, I think it was later in high school, but then St. Cloud was my launching pad.
I would think St. Cloud is a drunken fest and debauchery and bad food.
It was. You know, the thing about St. Cloud was if you could get through the first year in St. Cloud, you could pretty much do anything. Especially in 1984. If you got through St. Cloud State in 1984, you could pretty much write your own ticket.
I'm told you've donated $500,000 to St. Cloud.
I can neither confirm nor deny any rumors regarding that.
What do you think that means, Harrigan? $500,000, over or under? Which way are you going for Bells?
Did he donate to the school or the local keggers?
Yeah.
That's probably right.
Okay. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And then we'll make it happen at the fair.
We'll
what's your
fair.
Australian
battered potatoes. You know, I tell you this every year, Australian battered potatoes, and you got to get like a real pronto pup, not a corn dog, pronto pup.
That is correct.
All right.
Thank you, Belsky.
Later.
Linda's Construction Time Check. It's time for us to stop talking. Chris Carter right away next hour. It's time for you to invest in Minnesota-made Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive 75% off installation labor. All right, Belsky's here, Brian Belsky, BMO, Capital Markets. Among the texts, why doesn't Trump get more of the blame for high inflation from all the trade wars and tariffs when he was president? Is that valid? And if Donald Trump wins and he lives up to his words about how aggressive he's saying he will be towards China with tariffs, how will the market react?
Well, the answer to the question is no, because Biden kept all the tariffs against China. People forget that. That's number one.
That's
number
two. Very, very good point.
That's number one. Number two, inflation is caused by liquidity. When you have a bunch of money, you can buy whatever you want. That drives up prices. And so when you have a fiscal response and a monetary response, what's a monetary response? The Fed cuts interest rates, right? Powell did that aggressively. And then Biden comes in and starts writing checks. And after the Fed was done cutting interest rates, Biden was still cutting checks, providing liquidity. So actually, it's the policies of liquidity with respect to the fiscal side of things, giving people money, that's what causes inflation, not the tariffs. Now, on the tariff side of things, remember, China's importance in the world has dropped off pretty dramatically. And part of it started In 2016-17, it kind of peaked out. Its percentage of world GDP. It's lost 5 to 8 percentage points of world GDP.
How come?
Because the U.S. is doing so much better. And from a fundamental perspective.
So Trump and Biden get credit for that.
Trump and Biden get credit for it. Biden got credit for maintaining consistency with China. Trump got credit for saying, hey, you know what? We're going to make our stuff here. But China peaked out 16-17. And if you take a look at what the problems are, they had a huge bank failure a couple weeks ago. You know, that doesn't get enough press. You had people run on the bank in China. That's number one. Number two, you got demographic problems. You have an aging demographic. And number three, from a nation, they're trying to transition from an industrial-based nation to a consumer-based nation. If you know the Asian culture, especially the Chinese culture, they don't spend money. We in Western society, we spend money like drunken sailors. Let's go. We'd rather finance a trip Italy this summer because we want to get the heck out of here.
That is true. Okay, let's get to the most important issue. Yes or no, are you attending your 40-year high school reunion?
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. I'm leaning toward yes.
Okay, text me 651-461-9226. Let's say 20, 30, and 40. Did you go to those high school reunions? And did you enjoy it? I told you I went to 5 very briefly, 10 for the full thing, 20, and then I was done.
I don't believe there was a 5. I'm sure people will text in and say, yeah, Belsky, there was a 5.
Yeah.
10, I went.
Yeah.
I flew home from California for that one.
La-di-da.
Everyone was still in the same cliques, hanging out in the same circles, talking about everybody.
Yep.
20 was really fun because you're in your 30s. And you're grown up, you have your family, and you talk about things. 30-year was
meh. Unless you're the childless cat lady, as J.D. Vance suggested.
Exactly. Or the 30-year was meh.
Yeah.
30 was meh. Yep. So that kind of puts me on
What do you need? What needs to happen at the 40-year for Brian Belsky to feel like it's spectacular? Your high school crush from 40 years ago finally comes up to you and says, I've always been attracted to you.
Listen, my crushes were from 4th and 5th grade.
I mean, okay. I don't wanna, what's her name?
Anne Rimey. I loved her in 5th grade. She knows it, too. She knows it.
Where is she now?
She's in Wilmer, I think.
She's in Wilmer?
Yeah. And then Cary Brandt. I loved Cary Brandt 6th grade. She was my crush. And then,
are they married?
Yes, they are. Okay. As far as I know. I don't know. Yeah. It broke my heart. But I wasn't like...
Is he just right now bringing this up just so he's seeing if they hear about this?
I think so. Yeah.
I am. Well, listen, you know the line from Stripes, I'm the little acorn that became the oak, right? I was a little fat, dorky kid.
Wait, you were Chub-Chub?
Chub-Chub.
Second Chub-Chub.
Chub-Chub with glasses. And my mom brought me to JCPenney and bought me Toughskins, what are they called? Hefty Toughskins.
Okay, you're like as fit as can be. When did the Chub-Chub days pass you by?
Well, I think it was later in high school, but then St. Cloud was my launching pad.
I would think St. Cloud is a drunken fest and debauchery and bad food.
It was. You know, the thing about St. Cloud was if you could get through the first year in St. Cloud, you could pretty much do anything, especially in 1984. If you got through St. Cloud State in 1984, you could pretty much write your own ticket.
I'm told you've donated $500,000 to St. Cloud.
I can neither confirm nor deny any rumors regarding that.
What do you think that means, Harrigan? $500,000, over or under? Which way are you going for Belsky?
Did he donate to the school or the local keggers?
Yeah.
That's probably right.
Okay. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And then we'll make it happen at the fair.
We'll
What's your
fair.
Australian
batter potatoes. You know, I tell you this every year, Australian batter potatoes, and you got to get like a real pronto pup, not a corn dog. Pronto pup.
That is correct.
All right.
Thank you, Belsky.
Later.
Linda's Construction Time Check. It's time for us to stop talking. Chris Carter right away next hour. It's time for you to invest in Minnesota-made Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive 75% off installation labor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.